boys, to the studio. Welcome, Sue. Live with me here in the studio. Good to have you on the show again. And thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to be here. And thank you for the Beatles information. That's very welcome.
Great. She's a fan. Sue's chair of the UHCW Trust Board since February last year. She was previously deputy chair at Birmingham Women's and Children's NHS Foundation Trust and joint deputy chair at the Coventry and Warwickshire Integrated Care Board. Now, overall, Sue has had more than 30 years' experience in a variety of roles working in the NHS. And I thought we'd start with today, Sue, if you could talk about the role of the board and your role with that board. That'd be really great.
Okay, absolutely. Happy to do so. So what does a board do? What does a board do particularly in the NHS? Well, we've got a responsibility. We're made up of a group of people, so essentially the senior leaders in the organisation, so Andy and the rest of the chief officers, and then a group of non-executive directors who are not working full-time in the organisation but come in for key meetings on a part-time basis. And it's our responsibility to make sure that the organisation's on track, make sure that we're delivering what we should be doing, take any big decisions, really discuss them, and bring all of our collective experience, skills, energies, perspectives, demographics, so that we make some good, rounded decisions for the organisation. And that's really what the board is doing. We meet once a month formally, but we have several subcommittees covering various things, like finance, like the quality of services. And we meet in between as well to discuss some things in a slightly more freer environment as well, in a development session. So something that's coming on the horizon, we might have a more informal chat about this so that we're all up to date.
So in terms of that, those activities, are you involved in all those subcommittees as well as being chair of the board?
I, as chair, I have to kind of stand slightly outside of those subcommittees. But what I do as part of my role is I go to those committees a couple of times a year because they're meeting every month. Just make sure everything's running as it should be. Is there anything that I need to be thinking about for the way the board is operating? Because I'm always thinking, how can we do things better? It really is true that better never stops actually applies to the board as well.
Absolutely. So how are the non-executive directors chosen, or executive board non-executive board members, I should say?
They go through an interview process. So when you're appointed as a non-exec, and this is what I've done as a chair, you apply for a role. You're appointed usually for 3 years. So it's always time limited so that people don't get stale or too familiar. So you apply, you're appointed for 3 years. And then you work, usually it's about 4 or 5 days a month for a non-executive director. For me as chair, my contract is for 3 days a week throughout the month.
Right.
And that's the way that a non-exec director works. And it's my job, part of my job, to make sure that we've got a balance of, as I say, skills, experience. We're not appointing everybody in our own image kind of thing.
Good, yeah. Does your role including not only internally in terms of UHCW, but externally towards whatever it is these days? I mean, at the moment it's NHS England, but with the Department of Health and Social Care, won't it? Do you work upwards in that way?
I do have links with them, yes. Yeah. They are fond of meetings and what's happening. And Sue and Andy, where are you up to? And why is this not like this? Or well done on this bit, that kind of thing. So we have those regular things. There's also meetings for all chairs in the Midlands, which I'm part of as well. And I do quite a few meetings within the Coventry and Warwickshire, and now Coventry and Warwickshire and Hereford and Worcestershire system as well. So there are various ways that I'm working with, both within the organisation and outside of it.
That must increase the improved links and joined up working for patients then as well.
That is it, because we need to always be looking and thinking. It's great that we're a proud organisation here, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of services, but there may be some areas where we think, actually, it might be good to partner up with Birmingham or Leicester or somewhere like that and just think, what else can we do? And so there are sometimes those kind of conversations and meetings that go on as well.
Yeah, I don't know, 8 or 9 years I've been doing hospital radio, I've noticed that it's very much out there connecting as well as doing stuff inside it.
It absolutely is. And it's not just actually within the NHS, it's as much about meeting with the local authorities. We, to be able to do our job properly as a board, we need to be able to understand what's happening for the local authorities, because when people leave this building or Rugby St Cross, they may be going on to local authority care. So are those pathways smooth as well?
Very good. Okay. So what have been the key events for you over the last 18 months while you've been in the chair? What's been going on?
Where shall I start? well, let's start with some good news. Obviously, we've had the CQC, and I think we're going to come on to talk about that. So we had a CQC inspection and what's called a well-led inspection as part of that, which means looking at the way our leadership and our governance is organised.
Oh, right.
So we've had that. We've obviously had the big developments in terms of last summer, the EPR. So this is electronic patient record. Please don't let me use too many acronyms because we're very fond of that in the NHS. That's a big development for a lot of colleagues in terms of a new system for managing the business, keeping patient records, making sure that we are being as efficient as we possibly can. That's been a huge, huge exercise.
What have you seen as benefits for patients with that record system?
In theory, and I say in theory because whilst a lot of it is working really well, there are still one or two, there often is with IT, one or two things to sort out. But it should be that we've got records all in one place. We're not drawing from multiple systems as we were beforehand, so people don't have to keep telling their history, their clinical history over and over again, which is, I know, a common complaint. So that's first thing. The other trusts in the Coventry and Warwickshire system are going to be adopting the same EPR system as well. So that means our systems can talk to one another. So that should be helpful. So there should be things like that, and it should be more efficient. Now, I say should, but obviously there are some teething issues as you get settled into any new IT system, but it is starting to improve, and then it will give us a huge, rich amount of information and data that'll help us be able to predict what we might need to be doing in the future as well.
And those hiccups, do they get reported to the board and you follow them through?
They do. We've had a regular, there's been a whole kind of governance system, as you'd expect, monitoring where are we, what's happening. We're now at the stage where it's very much business as usual. We're not thinking of it as a project anymore, but we are absolutely keeping an eye on the data quality, is what we're seeing, what we should be seeing in terms of what's coming out the other end, if you like, of the machinery.
Okay, that's good. What other big event has caused you to spend time? Lose sleep on, perhaps?
not losing sleep, actually. Good. I've loved that also last summer, it was a very busy summer, our community services colleagues joined us. So this is the community services for the north of the county. So district nursing, continence advisors, tissue viability, wound healing, all of those kind of services have now become part of UHCW, and it's great to be able to welcome them in. I and my non-exec colleagues and the execs, indeed, we all do something called roundings, which is getting out and about, asking people, how is it feeling? What's it like? Any issues we need to be aware of? And each time that I've been to the community services in recent months, it's been a joy, actually, to see real positive feedback. I was over with the wound healing service not so long ago, and it was great to hear what they were doing and how they feel part of the organisation as well. So that's been fantastic.
That's one big risk of integrating others in. They feel they're always a little appendage on the side and they're not taken care of properly.
Exactly. We've all been really keen. I've been involved, you said about my career, I've been involved in some of those similar things. But actually, I think in some senses, community services can lead the way. And if we come on to talk about the NHS plan, there's a real drive for
There's a shift there, isn't there? To go from hospital being the centre of it to the community.
Yep. Absolutely.
That must put UHCW in a strong place in moving forward on that plan.
It does. I would have to say I'm really proud of some of the things that the team have been doing, particularly in Coventry. If people have had a chance to look at the NHS plan, it talks very much about neighbourhood health, and we've been doing a lot of work in Coventry, particularly in that, bringing all the services together. So I think there's much to be optimistic about in that plan. There's a lot to work through it. There's a lot to work through in it, but there's much to be optimistic about too.
Sounds good. Right, let's take a musical break, Sue. Come back in a minute and talk about some other things, particularly that what you mentioned there being the CQC plan, CQC report. That'd be good.
Coventry Hospital Radio.
Hello, you're back with Feel Good Wednesday, and my guest in the studio, she's still here, she hasn't run out. It's Sue Noyes, chair of the board here at the UHCW NHS Trust, and having a good conversation we are too. Now, during the conversation, Sue, we're talking about the things you're going to be doing out in the community, particularly the drive from the 10-year health plan that's been published. But tell me about what I heard recently about the Community Diagnostic Centre that's in the centre of Coventry. What's that about? What will it be able to deliver to patients?
Knowing what's happening is half of the battle, and then you know what you're dealing with. So anything that shortens that time between something not quite right to actually knowing what it is positive. And government have been really keen to increase investment in diagnostics. We've been very lucky that we've got a joint arrangement now going in near the City of Coventry Health Centre, so near the college in the centre of town, on that kind of campus bit. We're working to that being ready and available at the end of next year, 2026, and there are two phases. So I have a list of what's going in there, so we can talk with detail about it. So we've got two MRIs going in, two CT scanners, two ultrasounds, and one digital X-ray machine going in. That's in phase one. So you can imagine the extra capacity that that's going to give us.
Cool, great.
And it's going to be in the centre of town, so it's going to be available to people in a local way, particularly for that area.
So less people coming onto the site here at...
less people on the site here, but more capacity, which is great, because as I say, if you know what you're dealing with, and then you can get ahead of things and hopefully have a better outcome.
That's very good.
You dealt with. There is a phase two. So the things that are going to go in into phase two, and this is kind of the next layer of the building, they're going to be around things like sleep studies, respiratory, ECGs, and some gynae and urology outpatients as well. So that's the current plan on what we're going to do. But at the moment, we're concentrating on the phase one, which is, as I say, the big machines of the MRI, CT, etc.
Sounds like a mini hospital.
You could say that, but actually, as I say, it's that focus of let's find out what this is, and
very
then
good.
We know where we're going, and then we can just preempt quite a lot of the waiting around in a process. Sometimes people feel like I'm going from this stage to this stage. Mm. This is to try and bring that stage quicker.
And day patients would go in there as well, would they, for a period of time?
Yes, potentially, but the idea is it's very much to kind of improve the speed of knowing what's happening.
Sounds good. Excellent. Right. Okay, we'll keep up with that.
Thank you.
And let's talk about the CQC, the Care Quality Commission.
Indeed.
Their report they do here. Yes. Tell us about that. Tell everybody about that.
So they came to see us last autumn, and they did various things. They did a visit here at Coventry. They did a visit at Rugby. They looked particularly at the emergency department, at medicine. They looked at surgery particularly, our whole surgery directorate. They also looked at children's services, and they made an assessment. So they were here for the best part of a week, a whole group of people, and they were investigating. They were talking to patients. They were talking to staff. They were getting a picture of what are our services like. They also did a separate exercise, which I referred to a few minutes ago, called the well-led exercise, which is very much about how is the organisation managed, how does the board work, how do Andy and I work together? What are the mechanisms we've got for people to speak up? Or staff survey, how's that working? So they looked at that. I'm pleased to say on all of their assessments, we came out with a good, which is obviously good, and we're really pleased. So that's where we are at the moment.
Now, but there are a couple of areas, which they still need for improvement, didn't they?
Yes.
One was children and young people care, and also urgent and emergency care.
Yes.
So they're improvement issues. How do you handle those improvement issues?
If I take the emergency, I mean, obviously, if they're raising those things, and some of the things they raised we knew were not right, and we were wanting to get on with sorting those. The emergency particularly, it wasn't about the quality of care necessarily when people were within the ED, but it really was about the waiting room. And so it's great to see that we're actually now moving forward with expanding the waiting room.
Yes,
provision.
There's building work going on, isn't there?
There is building work going on, and we're expanding it. We're putting in more, using the space better so we can have more seats and a better area, much better environment, because it has been too crowded and it's been something that we've not been happy with. So that's one thing. On the children's services, it was particularly about children with mental health or with autism or with neurodiversity. There were things that we needed to do. Now, some of those are about us working with other organisations to expand it, because obviously we don't provide necessarily all of the mental health services that are needed. So some of those things we'll be doing by working with, say, Coventry and Warwick Partnership Trust as well.
Good. Now, the other thing was about the emergency area. Did you have many 12-hour stays or more on the waiting on the outside of on the trolleys or on the ambulances?
Sometimes we avoid trolley care. We avoid, corridor care in this organisation. We do sometimes have those. We monitor that. Yep. At the moment, we've been doing pretty well.
Good.
But there are times when we get peaks of activity coming in. Sometimes it's actually not even the winter. Sometimes it can be the really hot days we've had recently. That can bring a lot of people in with breathing difficulties.
Yeah, there was a national figure, wasn't there, for July, being a horrendous number of people on corridor care.
It is, because it's the heat that's generating some of those. So now, we really try to avoid that corridor care at all times.
Great, sounds good.
But we do monitor that, and we do monitor the time it takes for our ambulance teams to offload as well.
Right. Okay. Now, when we were talking over a year ago in here, amazing, isn't it? We talked about your interest in making sure what I described as the whistleblower situation, where someone had a concern, they were listened to, and you were going to take a particular interest in that. What happened in that area? How did you see that?
There's various things. So, freedom to speak up. If I cover it under that kind of heading.
Yes, indeed.
We obviously have a Freedom to Speak Up guardian in Lorna, and she has a team of people working with her. I meet with Lorna on a regular basis.
Yep.
Not as her line manager, but I'm there, A, to support her, because this is not always an easy job to be doing, but also to say, just tell me what any themes that we need to be picking up, anything that's coming up perhaps more than once, and you're just thinking, is there something more going on here? So that I can think about, how do we investigate that? How do we tie it in with, say, other data we might be seeing at the board? And I support Lorna when she comes to the board, which she does two or three times a year, to present to us and say, people are telling me this. I have to say, one of the things I've been really pleased about is, this time last year, we had a high proportion of all the things that Lorna was dealing with being reported anonymously. This time, when she came to the last board meeting, we had less coming through anonymously, and I take that as a real positive, because if people feel, I want them to be in an organisation where they can speak openly and not worry about, I've got to say this and not reveal my name.
So yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah.
I take it as a positive sign.
Yeah. Now, how does the Patient Advice and Liaison Service, PALS, fit into all this?
So they are also part of, they're obviously based down in reception, so people can see them there. They're there to provide that kind of immediate support if somebody's having a problem, particular reason, can't get through, or they're not sure where they're going, or they just have things cancelled. You would go to the PALS service in the first instance, and they'll be there to help. And they can resolve a lot of issues. 9 times out of 10, they can resolve a lot of issues, because what we want is for things to be sorted rather than becoming a formal complaint. But if they can't, then we do have a team of people here as well who will resolve, will investigate. And again, those complaints and those PALS issues get reported to the board. We don't kind of want to sit in isolation. We want to know what's happening and what can we do to address that.
So all that fits into the improvement issues that the board take on board to move the organisation forward.
Absolutely. It's all about patient experience and staff experience.
Okay. What are the big issues ahead for you in the next 6 months then, Sue?
Oh, gosh. If I say it's focusing on business as usual, that sounds probably, after some of the big things we've been talking about, doesn't sound exciting, but actually it's very much, it's about keeping on top of performance, it's about doing financial planning, it's about making sure we're a good partner in the system, and supporting our staff and supporting our patients. It's all about patients having a good experience, and it's about staff having a good employer and a good place to work. That's what it matters to me.
And that would be a board focus as well?
Absolutely, definitely.
Sounds good. Sounds great. Wonderful. Right. Well, thank you very much, Sue, for coming in today. Lovely to see you. And we'll try not to make it so long a break
next time.
Let's not
make it so long next time. All right.
Cheers. Thanks, Sue.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
This is Coventry Hospital Radio.